is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear that the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its will. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her in her morning dawns. The nation rage, the mountains or the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, good morning. It's good to see you today. You know, one of the greatest events in the history of our little country, of young country, is the American Revolution, obviously. I mean, that was the birth of our country, and so we are very, very thankful for it. There is a poem that was written in 1837 by a guy named Ralph Waldo Emerson. It's called The Concord Hymn. And the Concord Hymn has a line in it that's very, you'd probably know it. It talks about the shot heard round the world. And what he's talking about there, that little line, is a reference to the beginning battle of the of what was our American Revolution. It happened in Lexington and Concord, Maine. And our country, what was the colonies at that time, they were, in their words, overtaxed, underrepresented, and so they decided they were going to revolt and throw off. Now, about, I guess it would have been, that would have been 1775, somewhere around 1779, you have Yorktown that happens, where the crown surrenders. And now then you have the United States of America, what we celebrate every year on July the 4th as our Independence Day. The British celebrate as Rebellion Day. As you think about all of the things, I was thinking this week about all the things that have happened since then that have made our world better. Things that we can think about. I mean, listen to the steam engine, the train. I'm thinking about all kinds of things. It caused me to go, well, what about even in my own life? Do y'all feel like your time is speeding up? Like it just, it's moving fast. Think about in your own lifetime, all of the advances that have happened. This is students, everybody, because there are so many things happening in your world today, these advances that are taking place. I want you to think back, maybe we can elongate it even just a little bit more, and let's say the changes that have happened in your life, your parents' life, your grandparents' life. You know, there are probably some of you in here who remember television when it was beginning. Some of you in here, I know, remember television when it was only in black and white and when it changed from black and white to color. I know that you're in here. Some of you remember when the very first computers came out. That's not been that long ago, in all honesty. And now we have more powerful computers in our pocket than what sent the first rocket ship and men to the moon. I'm still amazed, like, how can somebody, like, back over there in somewhere, even in another country, punch in these numbers and, like, all of a sudden my phone rings and I can talk to them? Because it wasn't too long ago when I had a rotary dial phone that had, like, a real long, long stretchy cord so I could, like, go into the, like, other room so nobody would hear me. I mean, everything was tied up. You think about how we have even have lights in our room today. You realize things we take for granted. There was a day when people didn't even have lights. Think about the automobile. I said the train earlier. Like, we actually have cars. I got to drive on Friday to Little Rock to pick up my mom. My sister met me in Little Rock, and I picked her up. It used to be that I would meet my mom in Little Rock and drop off my kids. Now I'm meeting my sister and picking up my mom and bringing her back here. But we drove 6 hours there and 6 hours back. About 100 years ago, I would not have been able to do that. You would have had to have, like, horseback or carriage drawn or something along those lines. You're like, and we can get on a plane this afternoon if you have enough money and be in another country in about, like, other side of the world in about 13 hours. These are incredible days that we live in. Incredible days that we live in. But we also live in crazy time, don't we? I mean, we live in crazy time. Some of you right now, you're on a crazy train headed to a crazy time, and you don't even recognize it. We are in weird, weird days. Weird days. The last 5 years, does it not feel like at times there's cracks in the foundation and like everything is fraying at some point? I could name all kinds of different things, ideologies, philosophies, gender, sexuality, financial, political, all of these things I could name. When you recognize that. But I want to say this. I don't think all of those things are the real issue. I think they're symptoms of a greater issue. And what are they symptoms of? They're symptoms of a heart situation. That man, above all, is deceitful. We don't even know our own hearts. And I believe that today, and I believe this with all my heart, that we don't need another revolution. We need a reformation. We don't need to be firing bullets from muskets. We need to be shooting the gospel bullets at people. I mean, like, sharing the gospel with people. Meeting them, because what we know is that the only thing that can change a heart is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it. And the issues that we're facing today are real. They're real issues. But I want you to know that we've been called, we've been set apart to be sent out with the good news of Jesus. We're wrapping up today the last message in the 4 weeks about finding life and living sin. And in finding life, what we've been talking about is when you come to Jesus Christ, you surrender your life to Him, you submit your life to Him, you find the real life that Jesus talked about. Jesus said He was the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Jesus also said that the thief, the evil one, Satan, the great accuser, he has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. So when we come to Christ, we surrender our life to Him, we find abundant life in Christ, and we begin to walk in it. We talk about finding life and living sent here. And so the whole finding life piece, we've kind of wrapped around some G's: gathering as a body, growing as disciples, and giving of our time, our talent, and our treasure. As the abundant life is about gathering, growing, giving, and today we're going to talk about the living sent piece, going. So gather, grow, give, and go. This is what we are about here at LifePoint. If you're here today and you've not heard the other messages in this series, I'd love for you to go back. It's on our app, it's on our website, and you can catch up on those things. So today, as we begin to talk about what does it mean for us to live sent and to go, Jesus, if you didn't recognize this, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ in here, He has saved you to send you. He has redeemed you when you repented of your sin. He redeemed you, and then He redeemed you so that you would represent Him in every area that He has put you in. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, this is a verse, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. If you've been a believer for a while, you've heard of the Great Commission. I'd love for you to be able to see this and as it let this passage lead us out. Matthew 28, it's in the New Testament, verses 19 and 20 say this: Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, look, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus has been crucified. He has been put in a grave. He has resurrected 3 days later. For 40 days, he walked the earth. The scripture tells us that over 500 people saw him. They verify that he was raised from the dead. And now he's about to ascend back to the Father, where he is today at the right hand of God. He was about to ascend, and he gathered up his disciples, and he said, all right, boys, it's go time. It is now. It is time to go make disciples. I've called you to be my disciples, and now you're to go and make disciples. Turn over to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, write some of these down because I'm going to walk through these. Mark 16, 15. And he, this is Jesus, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. That means go and tell everyone, just to put it really, real simple. You have been sent to go tell the gospel to everyone. Look over in the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 20, verse 21. John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus said to them again, that means that he had already told them this once, all right? Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. How many of you are getting nervous about sharing your faith with someone? I know I can't be the only one, all right? What he says to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. God sent Jesus. When Jesus went back to heaven, he and the Father sent the Spirit, and now then we are being sent out also, just as Jesus said, hey, disciples, those of you here with me, God sent me, I'm now sending you. I'm sending you out. So as believers, you are saved to be sent. This is a word to us today. Matthew, Mark, we looked at John. Let's talk about Luke. Turn over to the book of Acts. You thought I was going to go to the book of Luke. But Luke wrote the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus is speaking. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, my sent ones. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, when Jesus tells these disciples this, he's not necessarily meaning that you're going to do this one, then you're going to go do this one, and then you're going to go do this one. We're going to save everybody in Riverdale, then we're going to get all of Rutherford County saved, and then we're going to get Tennessee. And then no, he's not talking about in succession. He's talking about simultaneously, that the gospel flows. The gospel flows. We share the gospel in Riverdale. We share the gospel in Murfreesboro, Rutherford County. We're sending people across the ocean. We're sending you as sent ones to your neighbors across the street. We're asking you to be sending the gospel in your home. See, the Lord has called. If he saved you, he saved you to send you. I want us to look at Romans now. We're on a roll here, aren't we? Romans chapter 10. This verse is kind of like the butter on our bread right here, okay? This is a big passage for us at LifePoint. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. It says, and the Apostle Paul is writing. He says, and how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? He's saying, how will those who don't know Jesus ever call on him if they don't believe in him? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? Well, they can't believe if they've never heard. And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? We are a sending church right here. How are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Do you know if you've been in prison, you've been in jail, you've been in captivity, you've been released, somebody came, they opened the door, and they opened you up. You know what most people do? They'd fall at their feet and grab them and say, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, not literally, like, I've seen some of your feet aren't beautiful, all right? I don't wear a lot of flip-flops, chacos, things like that. My feet are not beautiful. But you know what? What the scripture tells us is those who set the captives free, those who come with good news, those who bring the gospel, how beautiful are their feet because they preach the good news. This is what Paul is saying. Listen, the gospel is for us to be proclaiming. And this preach, how are they going to preach? That's not just what I do. You realize when you came to Jesus, if you didn't realize this, I want to clue you in real quick. When you came to Jesus, when you surrendered your life to him, you became a minister of the good news of Jesus Christ. Some of us do it vocationally as a job, but we all have the responsibility to preach the gospel. And preach doesn't necessarily like you go to Chick-fil-A and you stand up on the table and you're going to open the Bible. Preach is you go to Chick-fil-A and you sit down and you talk about Jesus to your friend that you went with. You talk about, you proclaim. This is what the gospel is. This is what's happened in my life. This is how Jesus has changed me. So I'm going to say this quite a bit. If you're saved, if your life has been changed, if you've submitted your life, he didn't save you to have you sit. He saved you to send you out. You see, you're carrying the same gospel that the disciples of that day carried. So with that, go back to Psalm 46. Go back over to Psalm 46, because ultimately I want you to know all the Bible is about Jesus. All the Bible is about sending. And sending is everywhere in the Bible, whether it was God sending Abraham to a land that he didn't know anything about, whether it was God actually sending the nation of Israel into Egypt so that he could then send them to the promised land, whether it was the prophets that he sent to the nation of Israel to call them to repent, whether it was God sending Jesus, whether it was Jesus and God sending the Holy Spirit, whether it was the church of Antioch sending out Paul and Barnabas, we stand in that line. And today, he sends us out also with the gospel. So in Psalm 46, I want to look at verse 10, and we're going to kind of camp out there at verse 10 for a few moments, all right? Psalm 46, 10. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted on the earth. Now, some of you may be asking, or you may be thinking, okay, this sounds like God speaking, but I know that this book was written by men. We believe that the Bible is wholly inspired. It is written. It is inerrant. It is truth in all ways. It was written by men who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So as they were writing, the Holy Spirit was giving them the words to write. It doesn't mean that he came and he was miraculously turning their hands. No, they were inspired to write the word of God. And so as they're writing, what you're seeing here is the voice of God coming to you and me. So if you've ever thought, you know, I've never heard God speak to me, here's what you can do. Read the Bible. Because when you read the Bible, this is God's word speaking to you. So he says, be still and know that I am God. Now, most of us in here, you may have heard that verse before. You may even know that. You may have even said, hey, just be still. Be still. Know God. But what we fail to recognize sometimes is the second piece of that. The second piece of it. You see, by being still and knowing who God is, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment, there is an evangelistic piece. There is a set piece of that. The last part of it says, God says, if you're still and know, I will then be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. How does that happen? You're thinking and you're asking. I want to answer that. The first point that I want us to look at today, the first thing that we're going to, if you're writing some notes, I hope you are, I want you to write down, be still and know. Be still and know. The psalmist in chapter 46, he begins by saying in verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength. He's our refuge and strength. It proclaims that he is an ever-present help in times of trouble, so we will not fear. It does not matter today what you're facing. As bad as it may look, it may be a medical situation, a financial situation. It could be a relational situation. For some of you, you've gotten news this week of some very bad stuff. I want you to hear me say this. Be still and know that he is God. Be still and know that he is an ever-present help in times of trouble. He is our refuge and our strength, the writer says. No matter what happens, no matter what comes, look at chapter 46. Verses 2 and 3 talk about natural disasters that happen in our world. Mountains crumbling, the oceans roaring. Verses 4 through 6 talk about all the kingdoms that are in turmoil. Listen, you look around, turn on the 5 o'clock, the 6 o'clock, the 5:30, cable news. The world's crazy right now. There's like mutinies, there's wars, sounds like Revelation. I mean, it is crazy, but the scripture tells us that even God is our refuge. Even He is there in our times of trouble. Verses 8 and 9 talk about like supernatural things, that God intervenes. He's the one that causes these wars to cease. In the midst of all of this, I think what happens here is the psalmist wrote this. God wrote it by the hand of the psalmist to help us to know He's in control. He's our refuge. He's our strength. Though the world is crazy, though the world feels like it's flipping upside down, it's almost like one of those little snow globes that's being shook up. All the stuff that's going on, He's there. He knows. He understands. The word still, right here in this passage where it says, be still. When we hear the word still, it's almost like we're remembering like what our parents told us or we've told our children. Hey, sit down over here and be quiet. Get still. Get quiet. That's not what this means in this passage. This word still is the Hebrew word that translates still. The Hebrew word is Rapha. Rapha, which means this. It means to relax and to cease striving. It means calm. It doesn't mean that, okay, everything around you is calm. It means that you relax, you cease your striving, and there's calm in the midst of the crazy, in the midst of the world turning upside down, in the midst of the cracks that are happening, in the midst of the bad medical reports, the bad financial reports, wondering what's happening with my family. We be still. We relax. We cease our striving. Listen, we're entering into a time of our world in America, and I love our country, and but we're entering into a crazy time. The political season is happening. What did the scripture tell us in here about kingdoms tottering upside down through kingdom turmoil? It says, listen, you be still and know that I am God. Cease the striving. Listen, come down, relax. Now, I'm going to tell you, I encourage you, you should go vote. You need to vote however the Lord leads you to vote. I want to remind you of what Proverbs says. Proverbs says, man casts the lot in the lap, but every decision is from the Lord, the scripture tells us. Can I put another word there? Man casts the ballot, but the election is from the Lord. You realize whichever president we get is from the hand of God. Let's bring it down. Let's relax. I'm going to vote. I've got a way that I'd love for you to vote. You may vote differently. Here's what I know. God is on His throne. We can be still. We can cease our striving. We can relax. We can get off Facebook. You can quit finger vomiting. It doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're sitting on today, wherever you are, I need you to know this. God is in control. God's in control. I hope you're not getting bad news this week. Can I tell you? God is in control. I hope your financial situation continues to be rosy or gets rosy, but I need you to hear me. God is in control. I hope that your family is renewed, restored, and relational. But I need you to hear me. God is in control. And where you are today, because we serve a sovereign God who has ordained our steps. He has placed us in the times and places that he's ordained before we ever were born. Do you realize? God's in control. He's there. He knows where you are. And so what the psalmist calls us to do is that we sit back and we cease our striving. He says, sit back and know. You know what the word know here means? Be aware. Amy has to remind me of things quite often, I'm sad to say. You know, I used to have a really good memory. And I used to have a really good memory about things dealing with Amy. She has to remind me periodically now about important dates in our life, whether that's birthdays or anniversaries, or she makes me aware of some things. Do you know what this no is all about? It's about being aware that God is in control. He has this. So if you're thinking right now, I'm downplaying all of these cracks, all of these foundational things, things that are very important to you, I'm not downplaying them. What I'm telling you is that we are going to elevate God in the midst of where you are. Where you are, you cease your striving. You become aware. You remind. What do? In the midst of this, we remind ourselves, this is what God says. I'm going to stop. I'm going to remember his word. I'm going to worship him. God, today, you are on your throne. There was absolutely no way that the Israelites were ever going to be able to leave Egypt, but God. There was no way when they got to the Red Sea, a million of them to the Red Sea, oh, we can't get across, and the Pharaoh's army is at us. There is no way to get across that, but God. They get to Jericho. It's fortified. The walls, historically, the walls were 20 feet thick. You got that? 20 feet thick. There's no way. But God brought them down. Folks, where you are today may feel hopeless. It may feel overwhelming. But God is still on his throne. His word is still as true today as it was then. And it was for us today. Cease your be still and know that he is God. And point two is this. We're going to be still and know. And then number two, we're going to go and make known. We're going to go and make known. You see, the implication of being still, being aware, God, you're in control in the middle of where I am today. We love this part about the Lord gives. And we love the Lord giving, but the second part of that is the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. He says, but still, I'm going to bless the name of the Lord. You see, and what we find here, now, well, notice what he says in 46:10. He said, after he says, be still and know that I am God, he says, I will be. That's pretty definitive. Do you catch that? He doesn't say, maybe, I can be. He says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. How does that happen? Me being still in the midst of what's going on, when the world is frantic, frenetic, somebody's shaking the snow globe, my world's falling apart, I'm being still right now. I'm trying to remember, God, you're in control. I don't have any power over this. How is that? Do you realize that some of the greatest witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest gospel moments, is when we're in the midst of pain, suffering, not knowing what to do. There's a presence when we recognize, I'm going to relax. God, you've got this. I don't know how it's going to end. It may not end the way I want it to, but God, I'm trusting you. I'm with you, God. Do you know what begins to happen? Everyone around you begins to look and go, hey, there's something different about how you're handling this. And in that moment, you're not just, listen, God said, I will be exalted in your suffering, in your pain, in your trial, in the situation you're in. You're living sent in that moment. We often think living sent is, I got the t-shirt, I'm going to the beach, I may get a live sent tattoo, all that kind of stuff. I need you to hear me, that's not living sent. I want you to go to the beach. I want you to wear a First Baptist, a LifePoint shirt. You old timers around here. I want you to do all those things. I want you to tell people about Jesus. But living sent is about sharing Jesus Christ as your Savior, your hope in the midst of difficult times. That's what that a lost world looks at someone who is suffering greatly in all kinds of different ways and says, you're doing this different than what I've seen other places. Why is that? Do you know that's a door that opens up for you to talk about Jesus? Jesus has changed my life. And most of the time, that's not going across the ocean. You didn't have to sell everything. And I want to say this. There are some people in this room right here that I know the Lord is dealing with about where you're going to go. He's already stirring in your heart because he's going to send you across the ocean. And we're going to help you get there. It's going to take some time. We want to figure out how to do that. But for most of us in here, you know what he's calling you to? He's calling you to live sent across the street with your neighbor, in your home, at your workplace. He's not asking you to sell everything. He is asking you to die to yourself today. This past week, I was at a lunch with a person. And have you ever prayed for one of those open door moments from the Lord, and then he gives it to you? The door opened. As your pastor, I'm sitting there having the same thoughts that probably you are. Well, I'm in a restaurant right now. Who's here? Is this really the right time to do this? What if they don't receive it? What if they ask me something I don't know? Yeah. There, all these things. Am I the only one that ever happens to?
Nope.
I mean, you know what I did? I went for it. I just started talking about Jesus. This is what he's done in my life. This is what he's doing at our church. Hey, this is what, do you know him? Has there been a point like that for you? You know what? I wish I could tell you that at that moment we got down on our knees there in the restaurant. Other people came, they got down on their knees. We got up, we sang a song. We all walked out. It was great. It was great, but that's not what happened. Yeah, he didn't surrender his life to Christ. That's not my doing, though. You know what our doing is to proclaim when the door opens. We preach the good news. We proclaim the good news. Some of you are very, very concerned about, I don't know enough about this. Now, I know all. I know everything about what's on online. Facebook's telling me this and this thing here. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. I can talk about all that kind of stuff. I don't know what in the world I'm going to say if that. You know, let me tell you what you're going to say. And talk about how Jesus has changed you. Talk about Jesus. Talk about him. This is what he's done in my life. There's an old African proverb that says there's only one crime worse than murder when you're in the desert. It's knowing where there's water and not telling them. Do you realize that we drink from the fountain of living water? Jesus said, if you drink from this well, you will never be thirsty again. Jesus said, he is the bread of life. You're one beggar who's found bread, and now you're telling another beggar, this is where true bread, this is where you're going to be fulfilled forever. This is what he's done in my life. Some of you are concerned about, man, I may not know what to say about the Bible. I don't know if I know enough verses. Well, listen, we need to know some verses. Jesus said, don't worry. In your time of need, I'm going to give you what to say. You talk about Jesus. One of the things that I've come to recognize is that we don't talk about Jesus enough. And one of the reasons we don't talk about him enough out there is that we don't talk enough about him in our home. We don't practice talking about Jesus. The more you talk about Jesus, what you celebrate, you become. When's the last time you've celebrated Jesus in your home, talked about him, sung about him, prayed to him, at your dinner table, at your breakfast table, just with your kids? Hey, let's talk about Jesus. That's a challenge for me even. But as we talk about him, it makes it easier to go talk about him with others. But so often we are frantic. We're worried. We're disillusioned. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know what's going to happen. And we act and respond just like those who have no hope. When in reality, we are to be still. Cease your striving. Cease your striving. Relax. Listen, no, be aware. God is on his throne, and I will be exalted when you proclaim my name. When you stand in the midst of suffering, I will proclaim my name. I will be exalted. Guys, I want to tell you, our world is crazy. It is. But here's what I can tell you. In the darkest time, the light shines the brightest. This is our day. You realize that? As much crazy as you get to hear, there in it. Listen, bring your crazy to the table. Jesus is alive today. That's crazy. No, what you're telling me is crazy. Jesus is alive today. I don't know how it's all going to work other than I'm going to stand before him, and you are also. Some of you are going, can I really do that? And you can. You can. You can. It may not be like that exactly. But you've been called. You've been saved. And because you've submitted your life, you've been sent. Because you have repented and been redeemed, you now have to represent. It's our duty. And here's what I found. The more I do that, the more it becomes delight. What I once am scared of, I got up and left that table going, I did what the Lord, thank you. You know what I know? You can do that same thing. I think about, there's a young couple in this body that I promise you, they must share Jesus 2-3 times a week, maybe 2-3 times a day, because they're bringing people all the time. And when they bring those folks, here's what I hear. This is so-and-so, and the people they introduce me to start talking about Jesus. Do you know our young adults, they start this Thursday. We need to pray for them. But every other Thursday, our young adult ministry goes to the MTSU, and they start handing out waters and drinks. You know what they're doing? They're standing there handing them out, and they begin conversations. And the gospel is shared, proclaimed. It's preached. Not like this, necessarily, but just in conversation, proclaimed. This is what we're called to. Some of you are very concerned. Invite a neighbor over. Invite a family member over. Start talking about Jesus at your table with your kids who don't know Christ. Start there. Listen, you want to find abundant life? You want to really experience better life? Start living the sent life. Going with the gospel. Going with the gospel. Today, I'm going to ask our team, you go ahead and come on up. We're going to begin to transition out here. Some of you today, you need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Some of you today, you need to turn to a neighbor and say, hey, let's pray together about who we're going to share Christ with. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I love you, and I'm so thankful for you, and I'm asking you right now, would you please have your way in this room? We're trusting you today, and we're asking you to do great and mighty work. In the name of Jesus, I ask these things. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand up all across this room.